Hi, and welcome to the Perfectly Imperfect Duo with me, Sari, and the lovely Lily. Today, in this episode, we are going to talk about when people have a fear or a worry around anything medical. So not health anxiety as such, because that's slightly different, although it kind of crosses over. It's about fear of going to appointments, going to doctors, having tests, all of that sort of stuff. Which is slightly different, if you like, to being fearful of us getting something or having a health condition or something like that. Is that when we do actually have to go and see somebody and have to go and take care of ourselves and get checked, talking about the fear around that, because it's important, isn't it, that if we're supposed to go for tests and get checked, and as obviously as we start getting a bit older, we're required to go in for more checks and tests and smear tests for women. Do you call it the same in the US, Lily? Smear
Yeah,
test.
a pap smear or like a
Okay.
pap.
Yeah. And dentist is another one. All of these situations that is it's important for us to go, but we can get really quite fearful of it.
Yes. I know, and I brought it up too because a lot of people, and this would be one of the specifics, but I've had quite a few people ask me about their blood pressure will be high at the doctor. So it can often be referred to as white coat syndrome. I think sometimes giving it a name can be helpful, but also not helpful because then sometimes people are like, oh no, I have white coat syndrome. And this is what's always going to happen rather than letting it be more of a temporary experience. So that's why one, if thinking of it as white coat syndrome is helpful, but like, I think sometimes when people anticipate, if they've had any sort of negative experience at a doctor or with a medical procedure, sometimes they're like, oh, this is me now. I have high blood pressure at the doctor's, or I have a fear of needles, or I have this rather than, well, and I guess now we're kind of getting into it, rather than letting that be a momentary experience and letting the next moment be fresh and new. Because both of my, well, my daughter had more of a, she had a much more dental fear, of the dentist, and we would switch dentists and I'd really have to hold her hand. She'd get really worked up. And sometimes it was, I would still be nursing my son because I nursed him forever till he was like three, but I'd be like on the ground nursing him, holding her hand, and she would cry. And she doesn't have any of that now. She's 16, and she used to get her, for some reason, they would always prick her finger too at the, and I don't know why they would do it more because she's like none of her friends, and they didn't do it that much with my son, but she had a time where she really needed to get like a little blood test with a finger prick at her doctor. She hated it. She hated the finger prick. And I guess I'm bringing this up is sometimes we do give ourselves that more allowance as a kid that, oh, we grow out of it. But I think we don't extend that same kindness to ourselves as adults, and we're adults for a long time. So I guess starting off of letting, really letting each experience be fresh and new, because it doesn't just because you've had an unpleasant experience getting your blood drawn or getting your blood pressure does not mean you can have a completely different experience next time or the next month. It's really human beings, really, we are built for transformation. And the difficulty, it's really only in our mind. So I don't mean to dismiss anybody or minimize how scary it can feel to, faint if you like, or, have, because I know that there's people that their blood pressure can get really high. But I don't know. Do you feel like that's true? That like that it's that it's really possible for you to have a completely different experience, even up until now, that you've always hated getting your blood drawn, or you've always hated getting your blood pressure. I don't think people give themselves enough credit that they could actually have a completely different experience. Not that they have to, but that that's even possible.
It's definitely possible. I mean, based on what I know now of the three principles, it makes perfect sense that that's possible. But also, I have seen it happen. I've seen people, I've worked with people who tell me they have a phobia that realize that they don't have a phobia at all. They just had a lot of thinking about something. And then that definitely can change. If you think about going for a medical appointment, for example, like if we're going for an appointment or a checkup. Often the idea of that is that it's preventative. We go to the dentist so that we don't, our teeth don't get rotten and fall out. We go for mammograms as a certain age because we might be more at risk of getting breast cancer. And so it's preventative. And so for me, I see these types of appointments and checks as really positive because I would much rather know and have an opportunity to prevent something than find myself in a situation whereby, you know, there was nothing that could be done. And so I look at it from that slant, whereas other people have talked to me before where they'll look at it as though go and find something bad out. So they worry about the outcome. And it's like, well, for me, having an outcome, like we can't control whether we have something or not. Actually, if we are aware of it, then lots of things that we can do. Like we're so fortunate now that we live in a world and a generation where there are lots of treatments. There are lots of positive things that can be done to help people physically with their health. And for me, like that's amazing. And the medical appointments that we go to are very much a part of that. You know, so they're important. And I think, you know, when you were saying before about blood pressure, like I remember when I was pregnant going and mine would always be raised once I got there and they'd say, oh, just give it a minute, we'll do it again. And that's because usually I'm rushing around and I'm getting out of the car and I'm trying to get parked and I've got this big belly and I'm like waddling along and like, so I'm, you know, I'm out of breath and I'm, you know, I'm tired. And you stay and you settle okay again and then your blood pressure would start to come down. But again, it'd be so easy for us, wouldn't it, to go, oh, my blood pressure's high and maybe that's a problem. Why was it high? What if it's high again? But that's nothing to do with blood pressure. It's only to do with us trying to control and want to understand everything that we just can't and we don't need to, actually.
Yeah. So I have two clients who have, and one is pregnant, you know, but so they said, okay, take a minute. But I think she got herself so worked up that it wasn't able to settle at the doctor.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think was different when you allowed yourself to settle after having a high blood pressure reading initially?
Well, because of this understanding. So in the past, probably before this understanding, what I might have done is gone home, bought a blood pressure monitor to keep an eye on it myself, based on just one reading that was high, because I would partly distrust, well, okay, they checked it again, it was lower, but is it really low now? And is it high? And is it what, you know, what is it? So it was a need to control. But because I don't have that desire or need to control the uncontrollable, I trust my body. I trust there's a perfectly good reason for my blood pressure to be high because, you know, I'm physically moving around and then it starts to settle. And also because I know now if that didn't go down, that would be potentially because I'm worrying and overthinking and why has it not gone down? And in some ways, being able to be comfortable with that discomfort now is good because actually if my blood pressure had stayed high, then it might have implied there was an issue because I wasn't stressed about it. And this is the thing, we get stressed about it and that will keep things high. So it's, what I would say to that person that you've mentioned there, and this the only thing that comes to mind is the same body that's created this high blood pressure that feels like a problem or a worry for you is the same body that is currently phenomenally growing a human being inside of you. So if you look at it, it's a phenomenal thing. And yet we really can distrust it and get stuck in our head that it's a problem and it's like, oh, because of this or because of a number on a thing. But just remind yourself of the bigger picture. Take a step back and look at the bigger picture. I am growing a human being. Wow.
Yeah. Yes. And that part of us that's growing a human being, it's the part of us that will know what to do about anything that happens, you know, because I had gestational diabetes. I ended up going into preterm labor, being on bed rest, and I dealt with it. Like, you know, and so if I had spent 1 minute before I had gestational diabetes worrying about having diabetes, it would have been a waste of time. you know, like future us, that same part of us that's phenomenal and growing babies, it can deal with it. Like if there is an issue. And I think that's what, where it's really changed me going to doctors. Cause what you said, it's preventative, it's giving me information, but like I have, HPV, which is just a very common like thing so I had to get, and I think it just goes away on its own often, a lot of the time, but still, even if it's there, you have to get sometimes like a colposcopy. So they take a little thing of your cervix. I had that done. And then you wait to see, you know, is there something and do they just take it out or, you know, because sometimes HPV can lead to cervical cancer, but not all the time. But like, so I remember when I got it, I had, I guess there's a few things. I was going to get the colposcopy and then just as stuff happens in a weird way, up popped on TikTok, this person like who was writing an article about how this is the most painful procedure ever. And it was like women, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, I'm almost died. And that, like, it was so painful. And I thought, well, I'm going to let that fly out of my mind. And that's not going to be my experience. And I'm not saying this to be braggy. I actually have a very high pain tolerance, but I also, it's this weird thing where I feel like I have this thing where it's like, do you want to get, I can get so peaceful and calm that pain, that I don't feel pain. And so it's like, it kind of feels like this thing. So I'm like, I'm going to my place and I go, I don't feel any pain. Also, it's, who knows, there's everybody's body's different. All the technicians are different. So I'm not saying that to discount anybody's pain for how painful it is. Cause I have a good friend. She's like, I don't know how you say it's not painful. So it just wasn't for me. As an aside, I've had two done. I literally felt nothing. So just to, everybody has a unique experience, but then waiting, I literally was like, well, there's nothing for me to think about because I don't have the results. So why would I waste any of my time thinking anything? Because I know that future me will handle it, whatever it is. And so I went along my merry way, literally never thought about it again. And I remember when I got the results, and I was in Texas and I just thought, well, I'll just wait. I was on a walk, like a long walk, and I got home and I looked at them, but I remember posting something about it and somebody left a comment like with the clown emojis, like, oh, that's so dumb that you wouldn't worry about it before. And I got it. And it was like all good, you know? And so I was like, well, why would I literally waste any time Googling the possibilities? And also I'm not knocking anybody, but I'm telling you kind of what's on offer when you have this understanding, I know deeply, whatever it is, because I've proven it, whether I had, and then I eventually did up getting diabetes. But even with that, I had it, and it was in the honeymoon period for a very long time and I didn't need much insulin. I could manage it with just diet and exercise. And they would say I was in the honeymoon period. And I was like, no. I hated when they'd say it because my big fear was like when I had to be reliant on insulin. And then I eventually did. And I'm like, oh, this is fine. Like it was like, I couldn't believe that was this, like my worst nightmare came true in my, you know, quote unquote, one of them. Yeah. Absolutely fine, you know? And so.
And it's the stories, isn't it? And like you say, even not just your own stories, but stories in the media, stories in the press, stories from other people. You know, I know you've spoken on here before about that you did my first ever 1 week anxiety course that I created. And I talked about this as an example in there. And it's just reminded me of it now that I had to go for an MRI scan and I'd never been for one before. And a couple of people, when I said I was going, and firstly, now when I look back, it's like, I don't know why I told people. I think we can tell people because we want some form of reassurance, but often what we get instead of reassurance is, oh no, that's terrible. So it becomes really unhelpful. And I remember telling a couple of people, they're like, oh, have you really got to go? Yeah, why? Why is it so bad? Oh, well, they put you in this tube and it's really claustrophobic and it can make you panic. Someone said to me, it's so bad they've even got a panic button in case you need to get out. Now, I'd never experienced it. Based on that alone, my own imagination on top of that, it was really ashamed to say that I cancelled it twice because I know that that would have cost the NHS money. It would have been that somebody else couldn't have an appointment. So I didn't cancel lightly and I was ashamed of canceling. But I got myself so worked up that it just felt impossible to go. And then when my mind would settle, I would realize, well, it's actually really important that I go if I want to get some relief from the pain I'm experiencing. So I have to go. And then I would build up again. And I went. So the third time lucky, I got there. And this was when I was really early in the conversation. So I was kind of sort of understanding it's just my thinking. But then part of me was like, but actually, maybe it's not, and maybe it's scary. And I got there and I went in, and the room I went in, it was really peaceful. There was some really nice music in the background. I just remember it, the lighting being quite soft, and just thinking, oh, it's quite nice in here. It was quite warm. And then I went in and he put me on this machine, and I was going in, and I remember thinking, oh, there's quite a bit of room at the sides and at the top. I can see out of there. So I'm not stuck or trapped. And then I started to think, oh, and then I got in, and then as I was going in the machine, I remember a thought popped into my head that was like, oh, maybe this is what it'd be like if you got buried alive. Like a really random, unhelpful thought. Just because it was so random and so unhelpful, I remember just laughing to myself and then thinking, oh, just relax. And I eventually ended up falling asleep during the treatment, even with a really loud clicking noise. It was like people, and that was the other thing they said to me, oh, the noise is really intense, it's really loud. But for me, it was so rhythmic, consistent. It was almost like hypnosis to me. It was like click, click, click. And I was like, oh, I just sort of got in, almost focused on that, if you like, and fell asleep. So the thing that I'd cancelled twice ended up being an experience where I was so not bothered that I fell asleep. And that was a big turning point for me, because I was like, all of that hassle and stress and something that actually was a very different experience for me. And let's just say I had have gone and hated it and it was uncomfortable, still would have been fine and it still would have been over.
Yeah. I just love that story because we it's our imagination. It's like insecurity and imagination. They have this big party, you know. Yeah, I sometimes when I read about people's things, I do this weird thing of like competitiveness where I'm like, that's not gonna be me. That's not gonna be like, so it's like whatever. Then I'm like, I'm gonna have a great experience. I don't know, but like in a good way. Like it, I mean, like if they're saying a bad way, I'm like, well. But I don't know if I would have done that pre-principles. I think I would have. I had to get an MRI too, but I won't go into mine because yours is such a good story. Mine was fine too, by the way. It was fine as
And a lot
well.
of people's are fine, but then there's the people who tell you they hated it and it was uncomfortable, which again is fine. But it's like, isn't it funny how we prepare ourselves for something based on something in the past, and not even our past, somebody else's past, and then connect that with our fears of the future, when ultimately, like, we just don't know. We just don't know. I think I've shared this with you as well, Lily. Another medical story that really made me laugh is when I had to go and get some bloods taken, and when I went in the room, and the nurse was like, and this is when I had a better understanding of the principles, and having blood taken's never bothered me, so I wasn't worried or anything. But I went in and she's like, are you okay with having your bloods taken? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. She said, are you sure? Yeah, I'm fine. And then she's about another few minutes later, and she's getting everything ready, she's like, are you definitely okay? Are you sure you're okay? And I'm like, I am, but now I'm starting to worry, because I'm like, why are you asking me so many times? Should I be worried? Is this just a routine, normal blood test? She's like, yeah. Oh, all it is I've got a really bad phobia of needles. And she was a blood taking nurse. And I'm
Oh my.
like, you've got a fear of needles? And she said, yeah, terrible. But only if someone's taking it off me, not when I'm taking it. Like, well, if this isn't an example of the three principles in action, then I don't know what is, because she tells people she has a fear of needles. She is a, I don't know the word for it. There is a
Oh yeah,
word for it. She
pulmonologist or
something, yeah. She her job, actual day-to-day job all day, is dealing with needles, yet she still says she has a phobia of them. It's just not true. It's just not true. And I said, I remember sort of not coaching her, but having this conversation with her, well, it doesn't that just show you that it's just a thought-created reality? Because actually, if you really genuinely had a phobia of needles, you wouldn't be able to touch a needle. You know, when people say I've got a phobia of needle, if you went into a room of, you know, five lovely little old grannies knitting jumpers with needles, would you be scared? No, of course not. Why? Because it's not the needles. It's the idea of, will I be uncomfortable letting someone else have control, taking your blood? It's that uncertainty and that feeling out of control. It's not a phobia of something. It's a fear of the unknown and the fear of not being in control, which I think is it's just fascinating. But when people say they've got medical fears, that's what it is. They just have a lot of thinking around what may or may not happen.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes also they think, I need to think and I need to figure it out. Like there's this misunderstanding that they're made of wisdom and common sense, that like, wait, we're designed really beautifully. You know, you don't need to activate your brain and think about it. You know, kind of, I think we that sometimes they're not aware that they're made of wisdom and common sense, that they, that like the answers will emerge, that they can deal with anything. And it was funny when you were talking about blood, one tiny story. I was in a low mood and I was, had a few more symptoms of perimenopause now that I also saw those as love letters. They really have fallen away, but sometimes I would be in a low mood, but I kind of started to understand also where that was coming from. So I didn't take anything seriously, but so I had a low mood and I knew it would go away. So I just wasn't paying attention to whatever thoughts I had in the mood, and I had to get my blood drawn. And so in there, and before I'd had all this chatter on the way there, like, maybe you should cancel your client because you're so low. And I was going to go away with my sister. It was like, you're going to be so low there. You shouldn't do that. Or just whatever nonsense. But I did feel low. And then I was getting my blood drawn and I had this thought, who was the first person that realized that you could get helpful information from blood, and who designed that you'd put it here? Because I saw how fast the tubes filled up with blood. And I was in such a feeling of like, and I said it to the technician, the nurse, I said to him, I asked him that question. He said, I've never thought of that. But it was funny because leaving my mood alone, I fell into this curious place of gratitude. And I just was filled with such gratitude. And that's something that I find, and I don't force it. I used to force myself to do gratitude exercises, but now I don't. But anytime I'm actually in a medical thing, or I just find that I fall into this place of gratitude. Like my son, when he's had dental work, what comes over me is, how amazing that this person studied to be a dentist and a pediatric dentist, and he knows this. And it's just like, and that's the feeling that I fall into with the bloods. And then I left and there was an old man and we were in the elevator together and we were chatting, and then the elevator doors open and I was like, the mood's gone, you know. And I never could have predicted it, you know. I couldn't have contrived that. If it was like, to get rid of your mood, go and get your blood draw, like, that didn't have anything to do with it. It was just, I do think I'm in such gratitude of the advances in medicine that we have, where how awesome that we can find, who thought helpful information in blood, or that we can do these x-rays, or we can do a smear test, or we can do these things. Like, and I don't say it because it's not to force the gratitude, but that's really what I've moved to, that I feel incredibly grateful for the, either whether it's preventative medicine or the treatment, like that I have to use insulin. I'm like, what a gift.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, you know, it's important to say that if it still feels sticky for people going to anything medical, so I'll be honest, I still have a lot of sticky thoughts about the dentist. I really don't like the dentist. I go because it's important and I want to have nice teeth and I want my teeth to last as long as I do, hopefully, or at least most of them. But I do always find myself in a whole load of thinking about going to the dentist based on past experience, things that have not been pleasant, and then worrying about how it's going to be. But now I just accept that, and it might be that one day I'll have an insight going to the dentist and it will fall away. Great if it does. But if it doesn't, it's okay to. I still just need to go. And sometimes I'll go and I'll feel on edge. I might even feel a little bit dizzy. I do feel a bit flat when I go because I really don't want to be here. But actually, when I come out, I feel often quite pleased that it's done and I've managed it and I've gone. And I think that's, again, sometimes there is a temporary discomfort because we have a lot of thinking about it. And as much as we'd like to just press pause on those thoughts, sometimes we find it really difficult because we have a blind spot. We have a blind spot where it's like, you know, we can't stop the thinking about it. And we can, but we feel in that moment like we can't. And so that's also okay that we can, you know, someone was saying, you know, something to me the other day about driving, that they just can't, they've got their license, they can drive, but they just can't do it. And we were being playful and we were joking. I'm like, that's not true. You can. Okay, well, I'll work myself up to it. I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't work yourself up to it. Just do it. Like, you don't need to think about it. Just do it. Just go. Joking, because she's like, well, no, I can't just go. But there is an element of sit in discomfort. We are built as such that we can weather the storm. We are made as human beings, and we are so super resilient that actually we could even have a massive panic attack and be fine 2 minutes later. Like, that is how the system is made. It's amazing. And yet, you know, we try and protect ourselves. Oh, I can't go because I get myself worked up. Okay, well, you know, as I said, for me, for the dentist, I get myself worked up. Not every time, but sometimes, and I can still go.
Yes. Yeah. I know. I love that. I had a client who, not the pregnant one, about, you know, having high blood pressure. And so she'd asked me, and what I said was like, you know, just through the dialogue was like, sounds like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself, you know, because sometimes if it's like, well, I have to get to this place. So yeah, I don't get caught up about the dentist, or I don't have blood pressure. Well, stress is stress. So you can stress yourself out, and you can also be like, yeah, I get caught up about the dentist, or yeah, you know what? My blood pressure is normal. And then I go to the doctor and it's high. Okay. Like, it's, you know, we never do well to put pressure on ourselves, and we can only be, just be grateful for where we are and what we've seen. You know, I got caught up about Halloween because I get worried about when I'm in charge of all the boys. And, but I was like, oh, okay. You know, like, cause sometimes I'm still like, oh, I don't want them to get lost and get hit by a car and running around. And that's just where I'm at. So it's like, yeah, maybe one day I'll be less caught up. Well, so they'll age, but like, sometimes I fall into a habit of worry about my kids when it comes to their safety or cars, but it's like, whatever, you know. It was actually,
but you know, again, when you say you'll age, you'll just worry about something different about them. And that's, again, that's because that's how thought works. Like, we can always find something to worry about. We can always find something to scare ourselves with if we look.
Yes. Exactly. But I think I have compassion, which I know we've kind of talked on about other stuff, of what I also felt like we can only be exactly where we are. And that's exactly perfectly fine. I think that was our other episode, but I think I'm much more okay with me being perfectly imperfect, where I think before it was like, there's more work to do. And now you have to be 100% at peace with everything, where it's like, wait, what's on offer is I can just be a normal human being. And sometimes normal, perfectly healthy human beings don't love the dentist. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And again, it's that acceptance, isn't it? And I think, you know, to round this up, I think one of the things I would say to people is around appointments, medical things that people don't like or feel uncomfortable with, is that we can put off, because we can start to say to ourselves, I don't feel up to it right now. I need to wait till I feel better. The matter is, we could get ourselves worked up time anyway. And so we might put it off and put it off, and feeling better about it might never come. And so rather than waiting until you feel different about it, it's more about accepting that there might be some discomfort attached to it, but also reminding yourself of the reasons and the benefits of you actually going and getting checked by a professional at a time where it could be really preventative and really important.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing, or that's a part that plays into me really not experiencing health anxiety, is that I just go to my regular appointments. You know, I don't allow that time to creep in of, oh, you haven't been, you keep putting it off. Sometimes it happens. I put it off for a month because whatever, like I just did that with the dentist, but there used to be times where I would put it off for a very long time. And then that thought would kind of eat at me. And now it's like, you know, most of the time I just go to my regular checkups. And then it's just, I just see it as preventative and just getting information and not some other looming thing of like, oh my God, I haven't gone. You know, I used to put stuff off and then have this unnecessary fear about it, which, you know, I think for a lot of people, like, I don't mind going to the dentist or the doctor. Sometimes I just don't want to take the time out of my day, you know, but it's so much better. I'm always like, oh, yay.
Yeah, it feels good afterwards, doesn't it? Knowing that you've, you know, unless you are waiting for test results. But again, as you were saying before, when you said, that person said to you, are you, what, I can't remember your word, but you said something like, are you crazy or are you dumb not worrying about it? Would be serious. Like, that made me laugh because, like, to me, it seems totally dumb to worry about it.
I know. Yeah, she said, are you so dumb? And all these clown emojis. And I thought, it's so interesting, the different perspectives, because...
Yeah, because what did she think you worrying about it was going to change?
I think sometimes people get confused. I think if they think I could worry would maybe mean like researching and preparing, but like, why? Because I didn't even have any information. So it would have been a complete waste of time. If I had looked into like what could have happened, like...
But we're not treating ourselves, are we? So we can... You know, if we've had a test for our heart, we can read everything we want to do about heart, but we're not going to be giving ourselves surgery anytime soon. We're not going to be, you know, that's for the professionals to stand and have researched. And like, we're not even getting information for me anyway, very rarely feel any better. It's about being honest with ourselves as well, isn't it? If whether we're Googling for reassurance or for knowledge, two are different.
I know I used to have so much distrust in doctors, and I would be like, like, as if, who the hell did I think I was? I knew more because I obsessively, like, I would even read like PubMed articles and I'd read stuff. I never want to research anything. I just trust my doctors. And I know that some people might have had negative experiences with it, but like my view about, you know, because when I also used to be like, so like holistic and Western medicine, blad stuff, I'm like, you know, it's not like I'm going to do every single thing they say, but I never research anything on my own for me or for my kids. If it's something, sometimes I might ask a friend about something, if it's a kid thing, or like, oh, did you do this? Whatever.
Yeah. Because we are, as parents, we are experts in kids. Like, for me, that's, you know, makes sense. But the other thing is, and you made a really valid point there, that some people will have had bad experiences with doctors, or what a doctor recommends doesn't feel in line with them. And I'm sure, you know, I've got a friend who's going through cancer treatment at the moment, and she's having some difficult times with her consultant, her doctor, because of what she feels is best for her health and her experience of being diagnosed with effectively terminal cancer stage 4. And so she also needs to advocate for herself. But even with that, feels wrong in your gut, go and see another doctor. Yeah. Change your doctor by all means. But again, we can't replace that awareness and knowledge of those professions with our own Googling skills, no matter how good we are at Google. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, so even if you are uncomfortable with your doctor or unhappy, by all means change and go and get another opinion from another professional.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, because I've worked with clients who sometimes they have felt like a doctor has missed something for a family member and the consequences were dire. But it doesn't mean...
It will happen, Lily, as well. It will happen. But that's the other thing is, like, you know, again, we're human nature and humans, and nothing's perfect. So again, we can follow our gut and follow our intuition and think, well, actually, something doesn't feel right. I want to check this out further. But doing it in a wisdom way, as in find something rather than a panic. Oh my God, I've got to get to the bottom of this because something's not right.
Exactly. And that's what I say to them. I'm like, you can always get a second opinion. And if you want to say to yourself, because of X, Y, and Z, I get a second opinion. Great. You know, and you do it. I just, had a new client who had caught that her son has like hemophilia, but she was like, and she thought maybe that was the worry and anxiety was was what caught it. But I said, no, it's actually possible to take wonderful care of ourselves and our family through a place of wisdom and common sense, where something can feel off and no anxiety is needed. But we can, you know, and so she had that experience in the midst of anxiety, just as we're saying, but that's not necessary. Like, we don't need that to catch something. And actually, we're going to be much better by saying, meh, I'm going to see a different doctor. But I think we are not medically trained. And if we are, we're going to be not objective treating ourselves too. So I think, yeah. It's like, yeah, if you can really see doctors that feel good to you and that you can trust. And if something's happened, it's totally fine for your policy to be like, and I always get a second opinion. Fine. Like, you can do all of that without creating stress and worry and too much noise. Because anxiety and worry are not at all necessary to stay in good health, to like catch things early, to prevent things. And in fact, they just get more confusing, because really it's based in loving kindness and caring. Like, caring is based in loving kindness, not fear. And we're going to take great care of ourselves. And that's where I feel like I used to think I needed to worry, and I would worry and obsess about the health of my kids. I take great care of that. My son on Halloween said to me, Mom, you're going to be surprised to hear this, but I'm not going to eat that much candy tonight. And I'm like, why? He's like, I think one of my tooth is dead and there's a balloon around it. And I was like, an abscess. And I was like, let me see it, you know? And he's like, no, it's not a big deal. And I was like, no, and actually I did look at it, and I did call the dentist. I'm like, he might have an abscess, like, blah, blah, you know? So we sent a little picture. It wasn't too bad. You couldn't see white, but we got an appointment for Thursday, but the Halloween was on Tuesday. And so I did have some thoughts, like, my, you know, like, he's going to die. It's an abscess, you 10, you know, but I also was like, I did what I could do. And we took care of it. It was an abscess. He got it removed on Thursday, but I didn't need to worry about the abscess for any time during, like, he still ate candy. I didn't actually even monitor, because he's 9 and had all the friends, and I let them all sleep over on Halloween. So that was a way that, like, we'll deal with things when they pop up. And I didn't, no anxiety needed. I didn't need to worry or research. I never even looked at it. I didn't even Google abscess, but I didn't even have to stop myself, because I knew, well, that would have done nothing. Like, I did what I could do. We had the soonest appointment, went on with our merry lives, and it was fine. And the dentist was like, oh, this was an abscess. I'm like, yep. Yeah. And so we're going to still take great care of ourselves. But my son, it was the first time that he didn't really like the dentist. But it was interesting, because he was worried about, you know, he had to have quite a lot of shot to have the teeth pulled. But then he was like, okay, tell me. And then he's like, it's done. And he said, oh, it's out. Cause he's like, I'm ready for you. And he's like, it's already out.
Yeah, what are you ready for? But maybe, again, you know, an example of us sort of building up and thinking, the fact that your son had told you he'd got that, maybe it had been on his mind a little bit. He's like, he knew something was there, and he was like paying attention, then ignoring, then paying attention. But then it's great that, eventually he did tell you, and then you were able to go and do something, you know. And again, that's his wisdom, isn't it? Going, that doesn't feel like your other teeth. Something's slightly off there. But he obviously hadn't gone into a major panic about it.
No, I was, and I know we can end it. I made sure to, I said, thank you so much for telling me. Like, wow, look. Because yeah, his gum was swollen, and he described it. He said, it's a balloon. But, and I did say, oh, it might be an abscess. He said, is it serious? I said, well, yeah, but just in that, like, we'll get it taken care of. And so my son had to do an assessment at school. So one of the rating scales was like, he filled something out. It was like his self-concept. And I had to share a little bit. I blanked everything else, but one of the scales was freedom from anxiety. High. So he really does. He's like, you know, on all the questions, no, like, you know, right. Yeah. And also, it's fine if your children do experience anxiety, but as a person who talks a lot about freedom from anxiety, just to see that scale, and that I didn't want him to feel anxious, but I did want to say, oh, I love that you brought that up, that you said that, because I'm like, really great noticing. I didn't need to be on him of like, do your teeth feel different? Do you have a bubble? Like, he's the one that said, oh, and his wisdom still told him, hey, don't eat too much candy. And he brought it up to me. And then we got it taken care of. And that was it. You know, we can get things taken care of without anxiety or monitoring it, you know, mm-hmm. like I didn't monitor him and he told me.
So one of the things I'd like to just say on ending, and then if there's anything you want to add, Lily, is, and I talk about this a lot, is that any level, any fear or phobia for me comes down to the three U's, which I always share, which is unknown, uncertainty, and unpredictability. So if you believe you have a phobia, I bet, and I challenge you, and if you disagree, message me and we'll have a conversation. I challenge you to tell me that there isn't an element of those three U's in what you're talking about, whatever your fear or phobia is. So here we're talking about medical, but there is, when you start to really reflect on what it is that scares you, either going to be unknown, uncertainty, unpredictability. And when we really start to see that, it can change things, because start to realize we're trying to fight against the inevitable. Like, nothing about life is certain. Every day is we're showing up to uncertainty. And the more we realize and accept that, the more freeing it becomes, because we don't then have to try and change it, because we realize we can't and we don't have to.
I love that. I think that's a perfect way to end.
Great. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye.